can cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread
Jesus,
Bible Studies with David
you.
Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you.
It's by grace. He just wants you to know it's by grace. He just wants you to know that this gift is continually coming to you as it's feeding you as you're abiding in the vine, right? You know, like Brother Willie Poe was talking about recently, you know. You abide in the vine, the sap keeps flowing. Okay, so we got to have that sap flowing or we're just going to die on the vine, folks. It's a gift from God. You know, if your soul is longing after God, that's a gift from Him. Ask Him for it. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, that do wander from thy commandments. And there are many. Three out of every four do this. Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. Three out of every four do this. There are many in the world right now who started out with God. They thought it was just a simple thing of accepting Jesus as their personal Savior. And first time they got tried, they failed because they didn't have any word in their heart. And they sought to lift themselves up by their bootstraps, or they thought that their religion was giving them enough to be able to stand for God. And they kept failing and failing, and they give up and they went back in the world. And the world is full of these people. But to continue to walk with God is a gift. These people who wander from God's commandments, they don't know it's by grace, and they don't love God enough to continue to ask Him to do this in them. Verse 22 says, take away from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Well, obviously, you know that if we do keep His testimonies, the Lord will take away from us reproach and contempt. Not that we won't be hated by the world, but I remember in Psalm 25 and 3, which God gave to me recently concerning a certain person who was persecuting and taking advantage and lying and slandering and so on and so forth. In 25 and 3, He gave this to me. This is a word He gave to me. He said, yea, none that wait for thee shall be put to shame. They shall be put to shame that deal treacherously without a cause. And also verse 5 fits very good too. Guide me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. For thee do I wait all the day. So again, understanding, this is David's understanding of grace too. Not only did the Holy Spirit speak this through him, but he understood, guide me in thy truth, teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. And he is, of course, waiting upon the Lord to bring this to pass. Hallelujah. Back in verse 23 of Psalm 119, it says, princes also sat and talked against me, but thy servant did meditate on thy statutes. Yeah, there's nothing really that will drive you to the Lord like, you know, those enemies from without, you know, those persecutors, those slanderers, those liars, those that take advantage of you, steal from you, so on and so forth, you know. Nothing will drive you to the Word like that, you know, because you know in the Word there is comfort. There in the Word there is direction from God. In the Word there is promise from God as to what He will do for you to defend you from your enemies. Oh, hallelujah. There is great, great comfort in God's Psalms. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. The word my counselors there actually is the men of my counsel. You know, in the abundance of counselors, there is safety, the Bible says. In the abundance of counselors, there is wisdom, the Bible says. You know, we need the counselors, and we need God's counselors too, not the counselors of this world or religion. We need God's counselors. We need the word of the Lord. We don't need any, we have no need that any man, according to 1 John, would teach us. We have an anointing from the Holy One. We want to hear the Word of God, don't we? We want to hear His counsel. Any teacher worth his salt is, of course, one who is teaching God's counsel, not his own. And, well, whoever wrote this, you know, gave us a good prayer. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. We need, the Hebrew says, the men of my counsel. You know, some man wrote this by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's the counselor I want right there. How about you? Psalm 119 and 25, which says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. It's so true, isn't it? We, you know, our nature cleaves to the worldly, you know. It has a hold on us, but we need God's grace. And so he says, quicken thou me according to thy word. In other words, make me alive. If left to ourselves, we would degenerate just like all the rest of the world has from the time of Adam till now. If left alone, we would deteriorate, we would fall to pieces, we would have no strength from God, we would depend upon our own, and we would fail God miserably, as all mankind has up until this day. Yeah. So, we need strength from God. We go to Him to get it. It proves His grace. He wants us to acknowledge His grace all the time. He said, I declared my ways, and thou answerest me. Teach me thy statutes. And of course, you know, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You know, there's power in confessing our failures to the Lord. And in the fact that, Lord, you already know that my soul cleaveth unto the dust. And this is where I would gravitate without your grace. So please quicken me. Please make me alive. Please give me your grace. And teach me your statutes. And verse 27, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I meditate on thy wondrous works. We need understanding from God. You know, you can read the word daily and never not really know what it's saying. There are people that have memorized the word and they quote it freely, but when you slow down and you just think about what they're saying, it doesn't seem to represent the truth that they're trying to put forth. What they're saying is not truth, and it's contrary to the verse that they're quoting. And it's like the Lord spoke to me many, many years ago and told me to eat the word. You know, not like a hog. Don't eat like a hog, you know. Just swallow it down. You don't even know what you ate. You know, it's just swallowed down, you know. And, you know, we need to slow down and think about the Word and ask God to reveal it to us and make us to understand it. Not just quote it. Some people that amaze people with their knowledge of being able to quote Bible verses don't really know what they say. And verse 28 says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Well, we read from David's writings in 1 Chronicles 29 that God has power to give strength unto all. And he just wants us to ask him for it. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. I think this is a good prayer to pray every day. And you know, God has put many of these prayers in here for us to read and say, yep, that's me, Lord. I want that. That's what I want, you know. It reminds us. You know, the Lord says, you have not because you ask not. And, you know, so ask. You know, Jesus said, ask that your joy may be full, you know. Ask the Lord. Remove from me the way of falsehood and grant me thy law graciously. Yes, we need to ask God for that. Some, you know, it's very Our soul cleaveth to the dust. And many times we see things the way we want to see things, which we think is advantageous to us to believe it this way, but it's really not the truth. We need the Lord's grace to remove us from falsehood. False doctrines can easily be dispelled if taken in context, if the understanding which Psalm 119 gives us, the sum of thy words is truth, is taken into account, and that we're leaving some things out. Lord, help us. Help us deliver us from falsehood. We've put together some verses here, and we believe this because of these verses, but there are other verses that need to straighten us out on this. Help us, Lord. I've chosen the way of faithfulness. Thine ordinances have I set before me. Amen. We can do this. We can ask God to give us the gift to do this, actually, you know, to spend time. You know, when I worked for Exxon many years ago, and I worked there as a machinist and then as a supervisor and as a specialist and different jobs I had there. But, you know, I'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Every morning I'd get up at 4 o'clock and I'd read the Bible until it was time to go to work. And those days really strengthened me to be what I needed to be. And if we're choosing the way of the Lord, we need to spend time. I mean, your work can't take the place of the Word of God. We're not here to make a living. Actually, we're here to serve the Lord. And those things all got to take second place to the Lord. You know, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, as He says. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Some people spend all their life working to make a living. And if they just realized if they sought the kingdom of God and His righteousness, the Lord would make them a living. You know? And, of course, some of the things that they are striving after and loving after are not necessary. And if you did seek the Lord, you'd realize that and wouldn't waste your life. It's a waste of a life to seek for what the world calls success. It is a waste of a life. We were talking a while ago about parents sending their children off to college. You know, they think this is what you have to have success. Well, from whose point of view? How many kids come back from college totally unbelieving in the ways of the Lord? Atheists, you know, in the ways of God. So is that really worth it? Is it really worth it to have success in the eyes of the world but have nothing in the eyes of the Lord? I think we're running out of time for people to seek success from the world. I think the most important thing right now, more than ever, that Jesus spoke was seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. This is the education you need now to get you through the times to come. Never mind seeking after the world. Seek after the King. He will give you what you need. You don't need much. You just need enough for a means to an end here. David, are you teaching living poverty? If seeking the kingdom of God to serve Him will meet your needs, not your greeds, then do it. Verse 31, it says, I cleave unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. Amen. I believe if you do cleave to His testimonies, the Lord will not put you to shame. And He said that in so many ways. One of them we read earlier. He said, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Now, this is an acknowledgement of grace, isn't it? Lord, if you give me the grace, I ask you to give me the grace. You give me the grace, and I will run the way of your commandments. This is the kind of understanding the Lord wants us to have a decent relationship with Him. Look at Psalm 65. In verse 4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee. that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, thy holy temple. You know, we'll be satisfied with what God gives us, the things of the kingdom of God. We don't need a lot. People who have a need for a lot of things to be happy, they don't love God. We don't need a lot. We just need to keep this vessel going until we can serve God in all things, right? But blessed is the man that God chooses and causes to approach unto him. Praise be to God. And I'm going to read 35 and 36. It says, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. See, it's the same thing. You put it in me, Lord, and I'll do it. You put it in me, and I'll do it. In chapter 80, verse 18, so shall we not go back from thee. Quicken thou us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. A revelation of grace. This one from Asaph. A revelation of our need for God. And God wouldn't put these prayers in here for us to read and to pray unless he planned on answering them. Yeah, that's the awesome thing. I'll run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. And by the way, Lord, enlarge my heart. Praise be to God. Psalm 119 and 33, it says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. There's that way again. You know, teach us, train us, right? The way of his statutes. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yeah, if we really understood from God's perspective what is important upon this earth, this is the only thing we'd be running after. Yeah. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it or keep it with my whole heart. That's the same word, shamar, again. Observe, keep, with my whole heart. Give me understanding, I shall keep thy law. I shall observe it with my whole heart. Boy, God's gift can, you know, he is able to save to the uttermost them that draw near unto him. He's able to save to the uttermost. You know, some people don't know that God's salvation will go that far. He will save completely, perfectly. Save from sin, save from the curse, save from the world, save from our enemies. Verse 35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments. You know, you, Lord, you got the clay. The clay is in your hand. You make the vessel that you want. A vessel of mercy, a vessel of honor, or a vessel of dishonor. You make the vessel. Make me, Lord, to go in your path of your commandments. This is why we pray. And that's why the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. For therein do I delight. In other words, I want to go in the way of your commandments. Make me to do it. And who put the want to in there? We already read that. The Lord did. You can ask him for the want to. You ask him for the ability. Right? He works in us to will and to do. That's the want to and the ability. You need both, right? You're frustrated if you just have the want to, but you don't have the ability. But it's obvious here that God will give you both, right? Make me to go in the path of thy commandments. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies. Give me the desire, and not to covetousness. In other words, not to the love of the world. A desire for more. The prosperity gospel, you know. God put you here to make you rich so you'd forget about him. Right? Because that's what happens when you get rich. You forget about him. You got your God. You know? Your money is your God. It's a strong tower. The foolish man's strong tower is his riches. No, that's not God. He wants to make us quite content with food and covering. as Paul told Timothy, be content with food and covering, right? But seek after the Lord with all your heart, right? Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Yeah, don't look too much. I used to tell my kids, I said, if you don't want to buy, don't go looking. They asked me, hey, Dad, you want to go look at that? No, I don't want to go look at that. No, I might want one if I go look at it. I don't want to do that. You don't want to buy, don't go looking. Don't tempt yourself, right? Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Quicken me in thy ways. That's what I want. I want more of God. I want more of God. I told the Lord, I've made sacrifices unto the Lord. I'd say, well, Lord, that would be nice. But I tell you what, you keep that. I want this. You know, give me this. You know, I always want more of the Lord, you know. Give me more of you, Lord. And the world loves this and the world loves that. And yeah, it would be nice. But I would rather you keep that and give me this. You know, I know that the Lord will supply our every need according to his riches and glory. You know, I believe the Lord wants to give us everything we need to do his will, but not everything we want to turn us away from God. Materialism has turned so many people away from God, just as Paul told Timothy. 38, confirm unto thy servant thy word, which is in order unto the fear of thee. Confirm it. You know, prove to me this word. Let's see this word act in my life. Let's see it fulfilled in my life. Lord, confirm it. You know, the Lord confirms his word with signs and wonders following, the Bible says. And, of course, he wants to do that for us, too. But he confirms his word. We believe, we stand on it. He brings it to pass. If we won't doubt in our heart, but believe that what we say comes to pass, it will. That's what the Lord said. Which is in order unto the fear of thee. This is the beginning of wisdom. We were saying the other day how that some people may even be preachers, but they don't even have the beginning of wisdom. Why would they be a preacher? Why could they even consider themselves a pastor or a leader of God's people when they don't fear God? When the clear word of God doesn't make them tremble and say, oh, that's what the Lord wants, you know, I'm going to submit to that, you know. When all they have before their eyes is their own selfish desires, and they think they'll get away with it. Turn away my reproach, whereof I am afraid, for thine ordinances are good. Amen. Turn away from me those things that are a reproach unto me. I'm afraid where they might lead me, right? I'm afraid what might become of me, right? So if you ask God, what's he going to do? He's going to do just what you ask him to, right? Do you have that desire? Jesus said so many times, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive, you know. Why, if we really believe that, wouldn't we be asking for everything all of the time, right? I mean, if you really believe that, if you take that to a lost person who never heard about the Word of God and said, this is what God is saying to you, think about this, you know. How would you act if you really believed that all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive? How would you act if you really believed it? Boy, I tell you, you'd be praying without ceasing like you're commanded, right? He said, Jesus said, ask that your joy may be made full. Ask. And especially those things that have to do with the spiritual walk with the Lord, not just the physical things. Many people just, all they want is physical, physical, physical. But the most important are the spiritual, and that's mostly what he's talking about here in Psalm 119. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Make me alive. Make me able, Lord. Make me able to partake with the saints. I've longed after thy precepts. Please fulfill them in me, Lord. Please show them to me. Open my understanding. Verse 41, let thy loving kindness also come unto me, O Lord, thy mercy. So I don't know if some of your Bibles might say mercy, right? Let thy mercy come unto me, even thy salvation, according to thy word. Of course, you know, this is somebody who's saved asking for salvation. So the limited idea a lot of people have about salvation is false. We need salvation until the end of our physical life here. We need salvation. We need God to save us from everything. Everything. And, of course, His promises do promise just that. Salvation from all things, right? So shall I have an answer for him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Amen. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy ordinances. Amen. Give us, Lord, give us the ability to give good answers to those that reproach us. Let your word be anointed in us to go forth and meet the need around us and to give answers to the wicked around us and to the righteous who are seeking you. Lord, just put your answers in our heart, right? So shall I observe thy law continually, or keep thy law continually, forever and ever. Father, we thank you to do this in our hearts, Lord. Cause us to observe your law continually. Thank you, Father. In verse 45, I shall walk at liberty, for I have sought thy precepts. I remember the Lord gave me this verse about 23 years ago. He gave me this verse. 24 years ago. We were new. I think it was 24 years ago. We were new in this area at the time, and I asked the Lord, you know, don't know anybody here, you know, I would like to, you know, come to know some of your people here, and you know, where do you want me to go? Would you like me to go to a church, this church, that church, visit somebody, you know? And this is the word the Lord spoke to me, and I shall walk at liberty, for I have sought thy precepts. And I knew what the Lord was saying to me. I knew there wasn't much chance for me getting caught up in a church, because it had been a long time, you know, since I'd had anything like that. But I, you know, when the Lord sets you free, you can go in and go out and find pasture. And that's what I was doing. I was, I visited a lot of places, and I shared with a lot of people, and they asked a lot of questions, and I shared a lot of things with them, and I still always enjoy fellowshipping with God's people. Should be no division in our heart about fellowshipping with God's people. But we certainly don't want to get caught up in something that's not of the Lord. If we're there sent by God to give, that's fine. We're not there to receive something that might not be good for us. But we can receive something from everybody, can't we? We can receive something from everybody. Everybody's got a gift that is superior to ours. And that's the way God built the body. You know, some people are gifted in one area and some in another. And we can receive anywhere. I will also speak of thy testimonies before kings and shall not be put to shame. Amen. I agree with that. I believe that. I'm believing the Lord to do that. And we know God's got a lot of kings out there, doesn't he? The Lord is raising up some of you out there to be kings. Kingdom kings, right? And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Amen. Good confession in the sight of many witnesses. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. I will lift up my hands also unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And I will meditate on thy statutes. I will meditate on thy statutes. Hallelujah. Have you ever seen even the people of the world saying, I'll do this and I'll do that, and God and that ability just, they did it, you know. They professed it and they did it. Praise the Lord. That's that's natural and not just spiritual. I've seen many people, confess exactly what they ended up doing, right? Remember the word unto thy servant, because thou hast made me to hope. Praise the Lord. We hope in the promises of God, and we are, the Lord said, his remembrancers. He called us his remembrancers. We remind the Lord. Now, Lord, you said this. You said this. We're probably reminding us more than we're reminding him. He's not forgetful, is he? But, Lord, you said this, and I believe it, and I'm standing upon it, and I'm just reminding you. Where is the remembrancers, right? This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Boy, the word of God is really strengthens you. It really comforts you. It really reminds you of how you're supposed to be thinking. You know, like Paul spoke in Philippians chapter 4. Think on these things. Whatsoever things are lovely and of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I was sharing with a young brother a couple days ago, about why is this in my heart and why is that in my heart. I said, well, what are you thinking on? Why is this temptation overcoming me? Why is these feelings in me? I said, well, what are you thinking on? Are you allowing yourself to think on these things? That's going to stir up your emotions, Stop thinking on these things. Meditate on God's Word. Fill your heart with the Word. Stop thinking on these things. Cast down those imaginations, that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. My comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The word will make you alive. Thinking on the things the devil sows into your heart will destroy you, right? Proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not swerved from thy law. Amen. God will give you grace when you wonder, what would I do if I get caught in this situation? I remember what Corrie Ten Boom's dad told her. He said, when do I give you the ticket? A week before you're going, or when you're getting ready to get on the train, You don't need it until you need it. You need grace when you need it. You don't need it before then. You imagine yourself the gift that you have now, being put in this terrible situation, saying, Lord, what would I do? But just remember, you don't need it until you need it. And I've found that too. I've been put in some bad situations and found that grace showed up in the nick of time, to be and to say and to stand up for what I was supposed to. And we should think about that too. When iniquity abounds, grace much more abounds. When the problem is big, that's when the Lord will stand up. He'll be the Lord in you, right? You just keep putting the word in there, and the Lord in you is able to overcome any situation. Don't worry about what you might not be someday down the road. The Bible says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let the morrow take care of itself. Just trust in God today, and he will be there tomorrow too. He's your Savior, right? I have remembered thine ordinances of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Boy, I tell you, I love for the Holy Spirit to bring to remembrance things that he said to me in the past that gave me comfort. And I ask the Lord for a better memory. When I was young in the Lord, I didn't have a very good memory. And it's probably because I smoked too much dope when I was young. And it kind of messed up my short-term memory. But when I first got into the kingdom, the second church I went to, they had put a memory of these certain verses in our mind, to really attack other doctrines and things like that and convert people to our way of thinking. And they came to me fairly easily, and I converted people to my way of thinking. But I found out, you know, that when I'm not memorizing something in order to use it with my carnal mind, that just the fact that I've studied it and thought upon it before puts it down in my spirit. And God says that He will bring all things to your remembrance. The Holy Spirit will bring all things to your remembrance, which I have said unto you. But He doesn't bring them to your remembrance for your carnal mind. He brings them to your remembrance in a time when they're needed and when the Holy Spirit Himself wants to speak through you. You know, I've told people before who've told me, David, I just loved that teaching and I understood it. But when I tried to give it to someone else, it just came out like mush. You know, I said, well, that's because you weren't supposed to give it. You know, if you were, you know, sometimes we just want people to have certain revelations. But when the Lord anoints you to give that, it will come out. It will be for the person that's supposed to have it, and everything will be right, you know. But we have ambitions. We want to show things to people, and maybe things that we love that really helped us. But maybe it might not be something that they particularly need at this time, you know. But when the time comes, you know, the Bible says study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. We study first for us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We study first. We study to get the board out of our eye so we can see clearly, to get the mote out of our brother's eye. If you're not studying for you, if you're studying for someone else, That's not the right way. The truth is, we're supposed to sow it in us, in our hearts, and then let the Holy Spirit bring it out of us for others. And of course, He's going to bring it out the way He wants to bring it out, the way He wants to use it. I'm going back to what I said earlier. When I was young and impetuous and was using my memory for what I wanted, I really wasn't doing the Lord's will. I found that the weakness I had from the days of my old days of smoking dope and losing my short-term memory weren't necessarily a hindrance. God was using my weakness for His strength, and He showed that to me back then. It wasn't necessarily a bad thing. But I tell you, when the Lord starts bringing it all to your remembrance, you know, that's a real gift, and He wants to do it for other people around you. Verse 53 says, hot indignation hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Yeah, I remember the Lord saying, the zeal of thy house hath eaten me up. He quoted from Psalms, I believe it was. You know, when He made a whip of cords and went through the temple and drove out the money changers. You know, I don't believe I've ever done that, but but I tell you, one person who has the ability to do that and the righteous ability to do that, and that's the Lord Himself. You know, like I was saying a while ago, man can't judge, but the Lord can. And the Lord can even be angry. The Bible says, let all anger be put away from you, but the Lord Himself, the Bible says, looked around about upon them with anger. He was talking about those self-righteous Pharisees. God in Jesus judged those men. He spoke very harsh things to those people, things that we can't get away with, honestly. Who art thou, that, oh man, that judges? When you judge others, you judge yourself, right? Things that we can't get away with, the Holy Spirit can. And when He anoints you to speak those things, they may seem very harsh to people around you, like they did when they came out of Jesus and John the Baptist, you know. Well, John was a rough old guy, you know. He called them a brood of vipers. And they were. But the Lord can judge, and the Lord can judge in us if we're not predisposed to be judges, and if we're not predisposed to be angry or competitive with people around us, but we're just there as a vessel of God, wanting to be His vessel and submitting to Him. He's able to do these things. We're not. We'll get judged for doing the same thing that He can do and get away with. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I love to sing Bible, don't you? You know how it's so easy to remember the Bible when you sing songs that are verses? Have you ever noticed that? I love that. That's just awesome. Of course, many of the Psalms were made that for that reason. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have observed thy law. You think about God during the night? I do. I wake up all hours of the night sometimes, thinking about the Lord, thinking about answers, thinking about people's problems, thinking about, you know, direction. And I'm just talking to the Lord in my mind. You know, you don't have to talk to the Lord out of your mouth. He hears everything that's in your mind. You know, you can talk to him in your mind. And he'll talk back to you, too. And the best time I have, when it's real quiet and there's not the phone ringing, people knocking on the door, emails piling up, this is, to me, the best time is in the night. And that's when I do most of my praying and getting answers from the Lord and getting direction from the Lord. This I have had because I have kept thy precepts. Amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you, if you will keep his precepts, he will give you more, won't he? If we act on what we receive, he will give us more. If we sow, we'll reap. If we walk in the light, we're able to walk in light even further out. You know, the Lord is my portion. I have said that I would observe thy words. You know, I feel that way, that the Lord is my inheritance. The Bible says that too. You know, the Lord is my portion. He's what I want in this world. You know, I want more of him. If God wants to give me a gift, I want more of him. I know that he can do this job much better than me, you know. And if he wants to give me a gift beyond that, I like the one in Psalm chapter 1, you know. I'm going to read that one to you just for a second. And that is Psalm 2 and verse 8. Ask of me, and I will give thee the nations for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Amen. Lord, give us souls. Never mind about Cadillacs and fancy houses and all that stuff. Give us souls, Lord. So give us something eternal. You know, I want my portion to be him and his people, right? You know, what was the Great Commission all about? The thing that was most dear to the Lord's heart just before he left this earth, you know, and it was the Great Commission. You know, go and bring this to my brethren. That's what he wanted. The Lord is my portion. I have said that I would observe thy words. I believe that in the days to come, people are going to take the Great Commission seriously and suddenly spread the word over this whole earth. This has never actually happened. You know that, don't you? But it will be. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Favor is the description of what the word grace means, right? Favor. Favor from God, right? I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. Amen. Lord, give us mercy. Give us grace, Lord. This we need more than anything. If we've got your favor, we've got your grace, Lord, we can handle anything that comes at us. Not that everything that comes at us isn't from your hand. Not that a man receives anything except from heaven. Lord, everything we get comes from you. And so we know that with your mercy and with your grace, your favor, we can handle it, right? Give me the grace today to handle what you're sending my way today, Lord. Don't let me fail you, right? I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Amen. This is repentance, right? You know, there's a lot of people that don't study the Word of God and don't think they have any need to repent. They think they're pretty good. They haven't killed anybody after all, you know, so they're pretty good. They're okay, you know. But when you read the Word of God, it tells you, like I said, where you stand, and where you need to go. And it keeps on doing that. You know, it keeps convicting you of what's wrong in your life. The cumulative effect of getting revelation, repenting, deciding to go God's way, is a holy life. Praise the Lord. And turned my feet unto thy testimonies. This is a trial for all of us. You know, many are called, but few are chosen. We're all called to partake of the benefits of the kingdom, but not everybody's going to be chosen, because not everybody is going to walk after the benefits of the kingdom. And religion pretty well designs people to be content with far less than what God has given. But if the Lord turns your feet towards his testimonies, you're going to be convicted, convinced, and brought to repentance, right? And he said, I made haste and delayed not to observe thy commandments. This is where the fear of the Lord gives great wisdom and great gifts to us, right? I made haste to observe thy commandments. The cords of the wicked have wrapped me round, but I have not forgotten thy law. And he says, of course, that he would have perished if he had forgotten the law, right? The cords of the wicked are round about me. Let me read that to you. Let's see. Verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Listen, everybody goes through afflictions. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. But he said here, unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine affliction. There are many who perish in their afflictions. If they would have delighted in the Lord's word, they would have been saved. The cords of the wicked have wrapped me around, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee. I know that bothers some of you. Oh, no, Lord, don't wake me up at midnight. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous ordinances. Amen. Wow, what a blessing, Lord, your word is. What a blessing. What an awesome strengthening, you know, that you give to us. I am a companion of all of them that fear thee. Yep, hang out with the people that fear God, right? That fear will be in you. You know, righteousness and purity and a desire for truth will be in you, right? Hang out with people that are willing to repent, you know. We all need to do it. We all need to humble ourselves one to another. Iron sharpens iron, you know. And of them that observe thy precepts, hang out with people that believe the word of God and obey it. Not with those that are full of excuses, right? The earth, O Lord, is full of thy loving kindness. Teach me thy statutes. Amen. The earth is full of God's grace and mercy, right?
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to unleavenedbreadministries.org. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-16-16, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul, pure as water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. is the darkest night. What will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus. Lord Jesus, oh Jesus, I trust in you, I trust in you, I trust in you.
Doesn't really matter who I am or where I'll be. My point is to be used to make a difference. I don't need to make history. And all that I could be, I can only count it as loss. Cause it could never stand to what I should be. When I take up my cross, who I am, doesn't really matter who I am, who I am. It doesn't really matter who I am. And I don't really need your applause or your pats on the back. An encouraging word will do. As I walk the Lord's path, I cannot glory unless I glory in Him. Because to him who knows to do a good thing and does not, it is sin. Who I am, it doesn't really matter who I am, who I am. Doesn't really matter who I am. And I'm vexed deep inside by all the vanity I see. Instead of a word from the Lord, you only hear the melody. Our faith has been shipwrecked by the idols in our hearts. It's better to be never known at all than from the Lord to depart. Who I am, it doesn't really matter who I am, who I am. It doesn't really matter who I am. It doesn't really matter who I am, where I'll be. My point is to be used to make a difference. I don't need to make history. true religion isn't in your church positions. It is not in superstitions or church activities. True repentance is an act of brokenness from the grief of your regrets of a life that's now deceased. True deliverance is not a road you walk alone, but with my spirit, says the Lord, as you walk away from sin. True salvation is not displayed in how you're treated. It's not in prayers that you've repeated time and time again. 'Cause this is not a game, and this is not a chance to see the spotlight. It's not about a church that seats a thousand or a choir that sings on key. It's about the kingdom. And when will you make time to share my gospel? Make time to point the lost to a brighter day in eternity, and make time for me. When will you make time for me? True holiness is a goal you cannot reach if you ignore humility on this road you walk each day. True conviction is not in these mortal words, but by my spirit, says the Lord, as I draw your heart my way. True righteousness has found my faith in me alone. You can't attain it on your own, and once attained, it bears much fruit. The true church is a church that seeks to serve me with a zeal to give me glory. Does this church consist of you? 'Cause this is not a game, and this is not a chance to see the spotlight. It's not about a church that seats a thousand or a choir that sings on key. It's about the kingdom. And when will you make time to share my gospel? Make time to point the lost to a brighter day in eternity. Oh, and this is not a game, and this is not a chance to see the spotlight. It's not about a church that seats a thousand or a choir that